It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
It is Friday. It is the Annie Fry Show. This is Ryan Wiggins and Brad Range filling in for Annie Fry. It is the Friday before the election, and so we are going to get right into the news. We're going to talk about the state of the race. How are you feeling? Well, guess what? How you're feeling doesn't really matter. It's all the data. I'm just kidding. How you're feeling actually matters quite a bit because that affects voter turnout, which affects the data. So it's still all about the data, though.
But the data can affect how you're feeling.
Ah, doggone it.
It's like it's circular.
It is circular. So, okay. So what we're focusing, though, on this segment on some of the data points that CNN is bringing. I've been watching this guy, Harry Enten. I don't know if he's newer. He is their lead data analyst on CNN. So he's on there all the time. You got a lot of clips making the rounds. Here's what I don't love about this guy. He is definitely a TV personality. And CNN knows they are in the business of entertainment. Because anytime they give you some data that supports Trump, they have to stop and go, but don't worry, we'll give you the Kamala data soon. Like, they can't quite help themselves. But even they are admitting this really looks good for Trump. So let's jump right into what they did. I think this was yesterday. This is 3 points on why, and just again, we're talking about the data here. Not our feelings. We're talking about what's happening on the ground in the country and historical data that says that Trump really should win. Here is the first point that CNN is making.
Look, just 28% of Americans, voters, think the country is going in the right direction, is on the right track. And I want you to put that into a historical perspective for you. Okay, what's the average percentage of the public that thinks that the country is on the right track when the incumbent party loses? It's 25%. That 25% looks an awful bit like that 28% up there. It doesn't look anything like this 42% doesn't look anything like this 28%.
Okay, if you're hearing those numbers and you're like, okay, what is he saying here? He's saying that typically if the incumbent party, not candidate, but incumbent party, has about a 42% approval rating, they're going to win. If they have a 25% approval rating, they're going to lose. It's like guarantee almost either way. So if you're in the middle of that, then it's kind of all over the place.
Right.
Well, where are they at? They're actually really close to the 25%. There are 28% that say we're on the right track. So historically, he's saying that means that Donald Trump probably should win this election.
So the bottom line is very few Americans think the country is on the right track at this particular point. It tracks much more with when the incumbent party loses than with it wins. In fact, I went back through history. There isn't a single time in which 28% of the American public thinks the country is going on the right track in which the incumbent party actually won. They always lose when just 28% of the country believes that the country is on the right track.
Okay, so it's all of these data points that I'm bringing up because there are so many of them. Now, these are just the three that CNN is highlighting yesterday live on the air with Harry Enten, their data analyst. But there are so many of them, and I've been talking about them throughout this whole election season. But it's really across the board. It's the turnout. It's It's the history of which party's in power. It's where the economy's at. It's looking at traditional Democrat bloc voters kind of bleeding voters to Republicans, or at least to Trump. That was just their first point, though. Mm. Here's their second one.
Joe Biden isn't on the ballot, but he's certainly in the minds of Americans, right? So I went back and I looked, okay, was the successor of the same party when the president's net approval rating was negative at this point, which Joe Biden's most definitely is? He's 15 points underwater. Now, we don't know if Kamala Harris is going to succeed Joe Biden, but we know back in 2008, George W. Bush, his approval rating was down in the 20s. Did a Republican succeed George W. Bush? No. How about in 1968, Lyndon Baines Johnson, his net approval rating was negative. Did a Democrat succeed Lyndon Baines Johnson? No. How about in 52, Harry S. Truman, his approval rating was in the 20s, if not the upper teens. Did a Democrat succeed Harry S. Truman in 52? My memory, no.
Okay, so again, this one, the first one being that the country is on the wrong track, that trends to Trump. The second one being that the party in power right now has a very, very low approval rating. And here is his conclusion from that.
So the bottom line is, for Kamala Harris to win, she'd have to break history, be a Democrat to succeed Joe Biden when Biden's approval rating is way underwater at this point.
Again. So those are the first two points that CNN makes. I really can't argue with those because they're not arguable. They're actual historic data, and they're just, again, more numbers that move in the direction of Donald Trump. I open this segment by saying, the feelings don't matter. Let's talk about the data. But they do. When you see a candidate right now, and people are coming up to me, you know, Halloween was last night, talked to a lot of people just walking around the neighborhood, some of which know what I do, a lot of which don't. And seeing lots of yard signs. Brad, I must live in a very purple area.
I think you do.
Because I'm seeing signs for every candidate. Lots for Trump. I mean, we live in Illinois, so they got to know.
Yeah.
They're not going to win.
Yeah.
But a lot for Harris. A lot for Nikki Budzinski, Jay Keevan, Katie Stewart. You know, all across the board. And I'm walking up, and you have these little conversations with people. What are they talking about? Well, they're talking about mood. You know, they're not talking about, I get it, I'm talking data, but they're not talking about data.
Mm-mm.
People are talking about stuff like Donald Trump pulling up in a garbage truck.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. They're talking about the Joe Biden comment. They're talking about, I just don't like the way he makes me feel. It's mood. It's very much mood. And that stuff does matter. Myself, you know, putting myself on the back burner here, that stuff does matter because it drives turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Turnout is major. Basically, in every election now, we're such a 50-50 country that turnout is like the indicator of what matters.
Yeah, it seems to me like when you're talking about turnout and you're talking about emotions driving turnout, the emotions that drive turnout the most, I think, would be anger. I think you see more people coming out to the poll when they're angry about how things are going. Well, that kind of goes back to that first data point you were talking about. When people have low confidence in how things are going, when they look at the say, this country isn't going in the right direction, that will make people angry, and that will drive them to vote.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump also makes people angry.
Yes.
And he drives people to vote. But again, back to the data. I said he had 3 points on why Donald Trump was going to win this election. Here is the third one.
Republicans have been registering voters in big, huge numbers. They have been gaining in party registration versus the Democrats in the swing states with party registration. We're talking Arizona. I think it's a 5-point. They've expanded their lead from 5 points from where it was back in 2020. How about Nevada? Big Republican registrations there. They like the early vote. How about North Carolina? Big Republican registration gains. How about Pennsylvania? We spoke about it before a few months ago. Big Republican party registration gains versus where from where they were 4 years ago. So Republicans are putting more Republicans in the electorate. The Democratic number versus the Republican number has shrunk.
So in light of all of those things that we were just talking about, turnout matters. Well, registration is one way to see how the turnout's going to be. I hesitate to look at the early voting numbers and say, oh, that means XYZ, because you can't really predict anything on early voting numbers. But you can on registration because it shows trends. It shows enthusiasm. It shows turnout. CNN right there, Harry Enten saying Republicans have seen gains in at least every state that registers by party, because none of them do, in every state that registers by party, you've seen Republican gains. Now, I also said that CNN is going to go out of their way to make sure that you know that it's not just that Donald Trump's going to win. Yes, all of these things historically favor a Republican, but today they came out, I think this was this morning, they came out and did the converse. So that was why Donald Trump really should win this race. Here is why they say Kamala Harris should win this race based on the data.
And so the bottom line is, if Republicans win, come next week.
Now, hang on. This is the conclusion. I should have played this first.
Donald Trump wins comes next week. The signs all along will have been obvious. We would look at the right direction being very low, Joe Biden's approval rating being very low, and Republicans really registering numbers. You can't say you weren't warned.
Okay, now here's Kamala Harris, why she should win.
And the number one sign is that Harris, simply put, is more popular than Donald Trump. Her net favorable rating is higher than Trump. She's at -2. Trump's at -7. I went all the way back since 1956 and looked at the polls. Does the more popular candidate usually win? The answer is absolutely yes. 16 times the more popular candidate has won. Only one time the less popular candidate has won. I will note that was Donald Trump back in 2016. But of course, remember, Hillary Clinton was quite unpopular herself. But the bottom line is this. Kamala Harris has been consistently more popular in the polls than Donald Trump is. She's consistently had a higher net favorable rating than Donald Trump. And normally, usually, the candidate who's more popular goes on to win on election day.
So what's interesting about that is he said it went all the way back to 1956. A, I don't like that he says that. It's 1956.
1956, yeah.
Yeah, he says that like it's like way back there. It's like, man. Right. Yeah. Anyway, I was looking. What he was saying is like only one time has the other candidate won. And that was Donald Trump. But he said, of course, Hillary was more popular, but she wasn't popular.
Yeah, she was not.
And not now, they didn't mention whether they said Kamala Harris is more popular than Donald Trump. But they didn't mention if she was actually popular or if she's underwater in those numbers.
The other very interesting thing about this is not just the, well, historically, candidates can't break out of this, except for one of them, Donald Trump. Okay, yeah. Well, that probably means that you should consider that in this election, too, considering we're talking about Donald Trump. But when you talk about Kamala Harris, if you see her net favorability ratings, she was always in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Always in the tank until she declared, and then all of the Avengers assembled and got behind her and said, she's great. We don't want you to remember that you don't like her. Now you like her, don't you? And so people just, like the Democrats, they just kind of in lockstep said, yes, we do like her now. So those are weird numbers to begin with.
I don't know, man. That rush, that popularity, whatever, surge of Kamala Harris after she became the nominee was kind of like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber, because they had Biden and things were bleak. And then they're like, well, we have Kamala Harris. And they're like, so you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like enthusiasm for the idea of the possibility that it wouldn't be Biden and they might win this thing. She's not really that liked.
Mm-mm.
So these favorability numbers, I think, are highly suspect. But that was their first point in This is why Kamala could and should win. Here's the second one.
Democrats in special elections, their performances the last 2 years. What has happened? We're looking at state legislative and federal special elections. On average, these Democrats have surpassed Joe Biden's 2020 margin by 2 points, by 2 points. And remember, Joe Biden won. So the fact that these Democrats have been doing better than Joe Biden's been doing is a good sign.
Yeah, that's actually the most concerning one for me is that I always say the best predictor of elections is not polls, it's elections. When you look at the last couple of special elections that have happened since 2022, now not the midterms, but since then, you actually have had big Democrat gains. There haven't been many elections, but in the ones that have happened, there's been high Democrat turnout.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, I think that's because it's an off year and you have social issues pushing things. that was mainly abortion in 2022. It might still be abortion in 2023. Will that still be the number one issue in 2024? Polls suggest it is not. It's actually not even, I don't think, the second or third issue. It might be the fourth most important issue, which means that it won't be the driver in this election. So I say, you know, there's something there, but I don't know that that's the reason why you'd pin your hopes on Kamala Harris winning this election. Now, before we close out, the third and final point CNN makes on why Kamala is going to win.
Even though the top metrics were bad for Democrats in 2022, the White House party did historically well in that midterm. So the bottom line is, Kate, a lot of Democrats believe when voters vote, they win. And with abortion being a much bigger issue this time around than historically speaking, when it was in 2022, Democrats did historically well. Perhaps Democrats will surprise a lot of folks and do historically well come next Tuesday.
Okay, so final point being that Democrats did very, very well in 2022, and that was supposed to be an election that they lost badly. Usually when a president in power is as unpopular and wrong track and all the things as Joe Biden has been in the midterms, you get smoked. And they didn't get smoked. They got beat, but they didn't get smoked. And so that indicates, wow, you actually have pretty high Democrat turnout. However, that was 3 months after Roe versus Wade got overturned. I think it was July to November, so maybe a little more than three, but roughly. It wasn't very long after a major, major social issue became front and center in the minds of voters. That is a big deal. Anytime a major policy change, usually social policy change, happens like that, it drives the opposition. The same thing happened with Obamacare. Obamacare passed and changed healthcare as we know it. It made people very afraid for what healthcare would become. Very, very expensive. That happened.
Yeah.
And people were against it at the time. But they did it anyway. They passed it. They got that law passed through with Ben Nelson of Nebraska. If you recall, he was the last remaining that was part of the supermajority in 2008-09, got that passed. And then what happened? In the midterms right after, Republicans took back the House. They had a great election. But remember, 2 years later, Barack Obama wins re-election because those things matter in the short term. They heat up and then they flame out. My argument is that that 2022 election was really the big backlash against Roe versus Wade being overturned. Now we're in an election where that has been not settled, but people get a little bit more of what that looks like. A post-Roe world is what they call it. And Donald Trump turns out people like we've never seen before. All of that suggests to me that 2024 is not going to look like 2022. But we will find out in a matter of, what, 4 days now?
Yeah.
Whew. So stick around. We're going to talk about one of those big issues that's on the ballot if you're in Missouri with Greg Keller. He's the founder of Atlas Strategy Group. If you're confused about Amendment 2, I am a little bit. I want to know if all these ads, there's a lot of money behind this amendment, if all these ads about sports gambling are telling us the truth. Let's find out. Stick around here on The Annie Fry Show. Yeah, this is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry today. We've got Greg Keller here. He's founder of Atlas Strategy Group. We're going to talk about Amendment 2. It's on the ballot, on your ballot in Missouri. Brad and I are, of course, from Illinois, where sports betting is already legal. Basically, anything that could already happen in the United States happens first in California, and then it comes to Illinois, and then everybody else reacts. So we are just observers. We're not voting in this, but we do have questions about it, and that's why Greg Keller is here. I was going to ask you, what is a post Amendment 2 world look like, but that sounds kind of bad.
It does kind of, yeah. Well, the current state of play is that there are 38 states in the United States that allow sports betting. Missouri is not one of those states. Interestingly, all of the states that surround Missouri have legalized sports betting. So we were talking about a little bit earlier off air. Every single week, you have guys and gals who live in St. Louis who are driving over into Illinois so they can go ahead and place their online sports betting bets on over there in Illinois. You see the same thing in Kansas City. Every weekend in Kansas City, Missouri, you see just a phalanx of Missourians who live in the Kansas City, Missouri area driving over into Kansas, pulling over on the side of the highway, placing their bets, and driving around.
So Kansas has it.
Kansas has it as well, too. Every state, 38 states already have it, and of all the states that border Missouri, the only one that does not is Oklahoma, and they're going to have it soon.
So tell me about the nuts and bolts of this, because you said they're driving across the state line and then on their phone betting, so it's like an IP address thing?
Yeah, these different apps have geolocation.
Okay.
So you log in on DraftKings or whatever the app may be that you want to use, it knows exactly where you are. If you are in Missouri, then it will not allow you to bet. In fact, there was a study done recently, they just released this recently, in the last year, since the football season started here in Missouri, over $11 million worth of bets have been attempted to be placed by Missourians that couldn't go through because we don't have legalized sports betting.
Okay, so this is where people have a lot of questions, because I don't think really anybody, I mean, I do, because I don't really gamble much. I don't really know how it works with the IP address and stuff. Would you have brick and mortar places in Missouri then pop up that would be gambling establishments?
Yeah, so there are currently 13 casinos in the state of Missouri. Each one of those would be given a sports book, the opportunity to open a sports book at their casino. Same thing would be true for the Royals. Same thing would be true for the Cardinals. Same thing would be true for all the major league sports teams here in the state. So what you would end up with is between locations at casinos, plus additional sports books, plus the things that would be available on apps, you would have close to 40 different opportunities as a Missourian to now do sports betting, either online or in person.
Okay,
I'm glad you brought up the Cardinals, because I think the Cardinals, the Blues, the Chiefs, the major sports institutions of Missouri are on the ads. You know, we drive past the billboards and their logos are on it, and you know they protect those logos. So I know they are saying, yes, we endorse Amendment 2. But so are other people. You know, Ozzie Smith's in ads. I just heard one right before you came in on our station saying Don Jr. is in support of Amendment 2 in Missouri. Who's paying for all this? Who benefits, and why are people getting behind this? Are they being paid by a lobbyist group or what?
The most recent entities that went in to pay for this were the St. Louis Cardinals, the Kansas City Royals, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Each of them put in, I want to say, $300,000 or $350,000. Some of the online gambling interests are also doing it, as are the brick-and-mortar ones as well, too. So there's a profit margin here, to be clear. There's a profit motive here. We know why people are doing it. They're doing it because it's going to bring money into the state of Missouri and, to some extent, into their businesses.
But do the Cardinals, the Blues, the Chiefs, do they directly benefit from sports bet? Like, they're getting a cut of any bet that happens?
Well, here's how it would work. So I went to a Cubs game up in Chicago earlier this year to root against the Cubs, of course, as a St. Louisan. And as you walk out of Wrigley Field right now, the first thing you see is this big, huge, brand new sports book right across the street from Wrigley Field that is owned by the Chicago Cubs. So that is tens of millions of dollars that the Cubs are making every single year off of their sports book that the Cardinals aren't getting. And then we wonder why our payroll isn't that good or why our team isn't that good. It's because we're at a competitive disadvantage versus just about all the other sports teams against which we are competing.
So it's not as if every bet in the state, they're getting a portion of it.
No.
They would just be able to open their own betting.
Yeah, so imagine, what is that, Cardinals Live right across from Busch Stadium?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine a Vegas-style sports book being in there that was owned by the St. Louis Cardinals. You'd have the same thing at Kauffman for the Chiefs.
So I think it was in Illinois when they first passed this, there had to be a brick and mortar establishment before they could do online betting. Is there any sort of provision like that in Missouri?
Yeah, all the casinos. So there are 13 casinos. This would establish a new sports book for each one of those. So presumably they would go in at the existing casino.
But like DraftKings or whoever would have to create an establishment or partner with one?
No, so like Caesars, for instance, owns three casinos here in the state of Missouri. Don't ask me which ones they are, because I'm not going to remember. I'm not a big gambler. But they would have an opportunity to put a sports book at each one of those casinos, and that would be true for all of the 13 casinos.
Okay.
We're talking with Greg Keller right now. He is the founder of Atlas Strategy Group, former executive director of the American Conservative Union. The other half, I kind of asked a convoluted question when I mentioned all the sports teams and Don Jr. and Ozzie. I guess the other half of that question, which we didn't address, who is paying, assume that somebody's getting paid, Don Jr., Ozzie, are getting paid by somebody to endorse that?
Don Jr. isn't getting paid anything. The reason Don Jr., I've known Don Jr. for 10 or 15 years now. The reason he weighed in on this is because I tweeted about it the other day. Don Jr. saw my tweet on Twitter and retweeted and said,
You're responsible for these ads.
Unbelievably so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I never thought I'd see the day that I would be getting retweeted by Don Jr., but it's happened several times now, and he made some news here in St. Louis the other day, in Missouri, for retweeting me, yeah.
So do we know about any of the sports stars, though? Like, are people getting paid to endorse?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't think Ozzie Smith needs to really get paid for much of anything. I wonder, you know, you see all these St. Louis Cardinals guys who are still doing, you know, Cardinal warm-up, and they're doing all these camps and stuff for the team. I don't know if they have these, if the Cardinals and the other sports teams just kind of have their top alumni on maybe small retainers each year to do events and stuff like that.
Oh, so the Cardinals would be saying, hey, can you do this for us? Or
it's probably the Cardinals.
Okay.
It's the I would guess.
And I'm just curious.
I was not involved in the Ozzie thing, but I would imagine it's just the Cardinals going to Ozzie and saying, hey, Ozzie, can you do us a solid? We really need this. Would you do it?
So, on the other side of this, I hear a lot of people asking questions like the guarantees, the guaranteed money for schools and all that other stuff. In Illinois, I don't know how, like, I don't know. Money goes to Springfield in Illinois, and then it just goes wherever.
Yep.
Missouri's not necessarily like that, but there are a lot of people worried about the guaranteed money and how you can guarantee so much money would go to education. And something to the effect of, I forget exactly what the language is, but there's zero to whatever.
100 million.
Yeah. Yep.
What are the guarantees that the people of Missouri would have that this money would, in fact, go to schools?
Yep. So this is a constitutional amendment. So if and when Missourians pass Amendment 2, it will literally be written into the Missouri Constitution that any and all funds being raised as a result of sports betting, a portion of those would go directly into the Missouri founding formula for education. Now, I will grant you, in some instances in the past, once the politicians in Jefferson City get their hands on the money, sure, they take that $100 million and they put it towards education, but they have a couple times in the past said, okay, well, then we'll just take another $100 million out of education and we'll put it to this new thing. My answer to that is a couple things. First of all, we got to hold our politicians' feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
If Missourians pass this, they've sent a very clear message that they want this money going to education and other money shouldn't go out the back door. So I think that's critical. I think we need to make sure we're holding our politicians' feet to the fire. The other thing I would say is just that, again, we got to get more competitive with these other states, and Amendment 2 is the way to do that. Oh, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that money would be based on tax revenue generated from profits that these companies would turn.
Yeah, a portion of each one of these transactions would go into the foundation formula as required by the amendment.
Okay,
Greg. I'm sure you've heard these concerns already, but address them when people say that. Yeah, okay. They say it's going to be $25 million a year, and they're saying over 4 years that would mean 100. Which I don't know why they would use that number, because then you could say, well, over 10 years that's 25 mm-hmm. million or whatever. But when people are concerned that the companies will just write off everything and they'll show zero profit, therefore they will pay zero into the tax system, is that an accurate depiction of what commonly happens in other states?
No, that has not happened in other states. In other states where this has been done, the money has gone towards education. This has been written in exactly the same way. You're going to be able to see exactly how much money these companies are making off of this. It's going to go directly into the foundation formula. Whether you like sports betting or not, there's no argument about the fact that it has increased government funding. The other thing I'd say is that, like, listen, what's happening now is Missourians are sending their money to Kansas when they sport bet. They're sending their money to Chicago, to corrupt Chicago politicians. I say with all due respect to the two Illinoisans here today.
But well, we're not corrupt Chicago politicians.
Of course
so.
Not. But even if you don't like sports betting, at least this keeps the money here in Missouri. Even if you don't think it's going to end up increasing education spending, which it should, but even if it doesn't, at least we're keeping the money here in Missouri rather than sending it to other states.
You know, Greg, you are former executive director of the American Conservative Union, so I'm sure these arguments don't fall on deaf ears when people say, does it need to be a constitutional amendment, though? You know, is this something that could have passed without changing the Missouri Constitution?
Absolutely. And they've been trying to do this. Republicans, Democrats, liberals and conservatives have been trying to pass this through the Missouri State Legislature for nearly, it hasn't been 10 years, but it's pretty much ground the entire legislature down to a halt the last few sessions because they hadn't been able to agree on exactly what formula they're going to do, exactly who's going to get what number of licenses and the like. And so eventually people were just like, OK, let's just let the voters decide this.
Okay. All right. Well, this is just a kind of side question because I keep hearing people talking about where the money's going and things. But is it legal? Would it be legal after this passes, assuming it would, for people to bet on elections? And does that affect local elections? Because I've heard people, you know, and it's kind of like a mm-hmm. nebulous argument because you don't really know exactly how that plays out. But people going, well, if you can bet on local elections, then you have local politicians involved in kind of money schemes then.
Yep.
And I mean, it's assumptions, but it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, there are betting markets on the U.S. elections right now. Mm-hmm. Now, there is only one. This election cycle saw the very first sports betting book on elections that was made legal in the United States. It's called Kalshi, K-A-L-S-H-I. There was another one called Polymarket, which is headquartered somewhere else. So that is already taking place. To me, an interesting as an election observer and someone who's worked on a lot of political campaigns, that's an ongoing discussion in political circles is what's more accurate? Is it polling or is it betting markets? And the betting markets people say, oh, this is a better prognosticator of who's going to win. And then the pollsters, of course, say that their polls are more accurate than the betting markets.
I'm going to go with you on that because the betting markets are showing a higher propensity that Trump would win this election. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like seeing that.
You know, what's also interesting about that is if you look at Polymarket, which is headquartered, I don't know, in the Caribbean or in Europe or somewhere, they give Kamala Harris a better chance. Donald Trump is still prognosticated to win. But if you look at Kalshi, which is all American bettors, the delta between those two is much stronger in Trump's favor, which seems to indicate that American-based bettors are more certain that Trump's going to win than non-American bettors.
No kidding. Wow. Wow. Well, Greg Keller, we appreciate the info. I was looking forward to having this conversation because anytime you have so much money and influence, obviously like local celebrities involved in something, you just kind of want to get the whole story. And I guess we're about to find out whether this passes. I don't know if you're watching polling. Does it seem like this is going to pass?
I think it's going to be close. I like where we are. I think we have a chance to bring this thing across the line.
All right, Greg Keller, appreciate your time. This is the Annie Fry Show. Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range, filling in for Annie today. We are going to attempt a Friday tradition. I'm just not going to lead it. It's called the B or Not the B. One of our associate producers, Drew, you may have heard him walking around on the show a couple times. He's going to lead the B or Not the B next here on the show.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the poll much today. Of these three options, which do you most hope goes your way in the election, U.S. Senate, U.S. House, or state amendments? The interesting thing that I've seen in this poll so far is that there is not a clear winner. We've seen a lot of comments across the board here, so we'd like for you to weigh in and let us know which one of those is the most important to you outside of the presidential election. This is normally the time that we do Wiggins America, and on Fridays, that is the B or Not the B. However, today...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ryan Wiggins is hosting the show. Brad Range is also hosting along with me. And Drew, our associate producer, is going to present the B or Not the B.
Wiggins! Oh, Wiggins!
The B or Not the B.
So these are stories that are either from the Babylon Bee, which is satire, or they are real stories. And then this time, I get to help pick which ones are which.
All right. Sounds good. So who's going first for choosing?
I think I will.
All right. Sounds good. So the first story, the nation takes solace in the fact that no matter who wins the elections, the political text messages will stop.
Well, that's real, but that's the genius of the Babylon Bee. Are you getting text messages?
I am. Yeah, every now and then I get about one. What I'm getting a lot of is emails. Donald Trump is emailing me a lot. Like, I don't know how he has enough time in the day.
What about you? Do you get a lot of these?
I get a lot of Lucas Kuntz texts.
Oh, okay.
It's like, all right.
You gotta be careful with that guy.
Yeah, you might get hurt if you're near shooting range.
Yeah, don't go to an event with him.
I must have answered a poll about 5 years ago because I will only get local Illinois races. People texting me, hey, vote for Jake Heaven or whatever, because I think I answered one thing. I've been very careful to not answer any of those things for that reason. Because I get polling, and I get that, oh, some of them aren't real polls. They're push polls,
yeah.
And they're trying to get an answer out of you to find out what you believe so that they can make sure that you vote in the next election.
Yeah, see, I got an Amendment 3 one, too, the other day.
Amendment 3.
Yeah.
See, that's why we asked this question today, because that is a huge amendment
mm-hmm.
on the Missouri ballot for the Missouri Constitution. And I just was curious as to whether you'd rather take the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, or have the Missouri amendments go your way. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are all big deals.
But I think this is a B article.
It's a B article.
It is a B article.
There you go. This is the part where you read a little bit.
Okay. No, I'm just waiting on you. After several months of constant bombardment from political ads, the American people express relief that regardless of the outcome of Election Day, the constant stream of annoying messages from various candidates desperately asking for your money will be over soon.
I hear that. I think everybody does.
There you go.
All right.
All right, Brad, you ready?
I am born ready, man.
All right, sounds good. Trump attacks war hawk Liz Cheney with violent rhetoric.
Ooh. This is a real headline.
Okay.
I don't think he actually attacked her with violent rhetoric, but this is a real headline. I'm going to guess it's like MSNBC or something.
Yeah, it's going to be real. It's Huffington Post, right? Something like that.
Yes. So you guys are both correct. It's tied. I'll give half a point to Brad because it is MSNBC.
Oh, man.
Nailed it.
So there you go. I don't have an excerpt on that.
So I don't think we pulled this quote today, but if you've seen the quote, it's about 11 seconds long. And amazingly, the reason I even saw it this morning is that there are certain leftists that mm-hmm. I follow on Twitter to make sure that I'm getting a nice, well-rounded opinion of everything that's happening. One of them's name is, I only remember it because it's a famous name, Joe Walsh. Now, he is not the Joe Walsh that you know from the Eagles, but he seems to be a paid political operative. I don't know, but he's avowed leftist. And he called out another paid leftist for sharing that clip, 11 seconds long, that makes it look like Trump is calling for violent rhetoric against Liz Cheney. So this wasn't the normal push and pull of left-right and people going, he didn't really say that. This was actually the left saying that to the left.
Yeah.
You know, that is out of context. And there was a little bit of a fight that was erupting over it.
Well, the reason they're having that fight is because it ruins any sort of credibility. The Harris campaign, what is the Twitter account? Kamala HQ or whatever, has been notoriously awful about this. They just take a Trump speech and they'll cut this part, and this part, and then they'll smash them together and make it say whatever they want it to say. And then they're like, oh, Donald Trump wants Liz Cheney to go in front of a firing squad.
And this guy actually said, look, this is the reason nobody trusts mm-hmm. each other. And there was a bit of a fight. I actually was glad to see that happening.
Yeah. All right. On to the next one. Wiggins, this is for you. Transgender server sues Hooters for rejecting employment application for.
Is that part of the headline?
Yeah.
Man, I was waiting for the extra joke to make it the Babylon Bee. I didn't hear it. I'm going to say that's real.
I think it's real too.
Okay. Yes, that is real.
It is real. Okay.
It says, Brandy Livingston has been a regular customer at Hooters in Albany
and has applied for the job 3 times, but has been turned down for employment every time and is suing for discrimination.
You know, guys do work there. It's not as if it's just women. So I wonder if he was applying for a particular position that they wouldn't give him or her.
What kind of position?
The ones where you get a lot of tips. Positions.
There you go. Well, so it's tied up right now?
Are we keeping score?
Drew's keeping score. We've never kept score before.
Is it keeping score?
No.
Okay. No, we just for fun.
I'm going to say Brad's up right now for the half a point.
That's my guy.
He got the one. All right, Brad, it's your turn. California man arrested for showing ID to vote.
Hold on.
I saw this one earlier in the week, actually. That is the B.
Yeah, it says authorities said Justin Davis arrived at voting location around 9 a.m. and presented his driver's license to horrified poll voters.
You know what? We live in Illinois. Have you voted yet?
I haven't. I was going to do it yesterday, but got too busy with Halloween, so I guess I'm going on.
And you're Missouri,
Tuesday,
right?
Tuesday, yeah.
So we're in Illinois.
Yeah.
Brad, you already voted?
Yes.
And you did not show ID?
No.
Oh, no. Did you try?
No.
Because every time I go to vote, I forget that Illinois doesn't require it.
Yeah.
Because it's so natural to walk into a voting booth and go, here's who I am. And they've told me, no, we don't need to know. Well, like, are you freaking kidding me?
The guy in front of me, he's like, do you need to see my... And she's like, no, only if the signatures don't match. Or only if I think the signatures don't match, I think is what the poll
worker said.
So
you have one person looking at two signatures going... And like the person's going to go, yeah, these are really, they look just different enough that I'm not going to let you vote. Like, do you think that's going to really happen?
And like, I don't know how much like they update their rolls and their data, because whenever I registered to vote, whenever I was 18, my signature was a little different than what it is now. And if I go back and look, they don't look the same at all.
And you know what's tough about doing what we do, and specifically what I do, Brad, and Drew, you would understand this, at least understand what I'm saying. We sign so many autographs.
So many. So many.
That your hand gets tired, you're signing stuff, your signature's going to look different after signing
every
that
time.
Many. But your muscles in your hand are different.
But also your signature has to evolve, too, because you want somebody to get a piece of artwork when they get your autograph.
Exactly.
You don't want to just go, this is my name.
Mm-hmm.
No, you get the audit. Like, that's why some guys put their numbers in there. We don't have numbers, so we put their station letter, call letters in there and all that other stuff. But
All-Star 05.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
And it's the wildest thing, too, because you'd think that'd be the most fundamental thing for an election, to at least have ID to know you're a citizen of the country.
Well,
but
all the things that you can't do with an ID.
Drive.
Like, you can't drive, you can't buy cigarettes, you can't sports bet, you can't you can't get alcohol. I think you have to show your ID to go to the doctor sometimes.
To rent a car.
To get on a plane. All of these things that are vital for the function of just getting through in society. And then it's like, but you
know. No, that's burdensome.
Yeah. The ID will be burdensome.
Don't burden
it's like you have it for all these other things. You probably still have one. And I just think that it's a cop out. Why doesn't the other side want ID? And they can say all they want about trying to disenfranchise voters, but if you make it easier, and I'm not saying you're committing fraud, but if you make it easier to commit fraud, every fraudulent vote disenfranchises a voter.
Exactly.
It works on both ways. So you want to get it as accurate as you possibly can.
Even to get in bars, they won't let you in if you don't have ID. I'm like, it's crazy. But next one, we'll go to Wiggins. 9 ways Trump is exactly like Hitler.
That's the B. I'm pretty sure, right? That's not Huffington Post.
We're right?
Are you gonna?
Yeah, I'm gonna say B.
Okay. That's the B.
Okay.
They both. Yeah. So you don't know. It's the crazy part. They both wear pants. Hitler had a mustache, and Trump probably could have a mustache if he didn't shave every few days. They both breathe air. Did I mention they both breathe air?
Wow. You got one more before we run out of time?
Yeah. Kids at Tim Wall's door disappointed after he fills their candy bag with tampons.
Okay. All right. I just said this yesterday, and I was listening to Kill Me on the way in today, and he was sharing some story about Tim Walz, and I thought, gosh, if that guy is the actual vice president.
Oh, man.
I mean, let alone, Kamala aside, obviously that's going to be a travesty. If Tim Walz is the vice president, and you got to deal with these people in the news. I don't know if you guys watched any of the J.D. Vance on Rogan thing.
Getting there, yeah.
But, and bit, yeah. I haven't watched a lot of it, but just enough to be like, these people are pretty smart.
Yeah.
Like, Trump, for all of the negativity that he takes, he knows a lot about policy. He just speaks at a very, they say, like a sixth grade level, mm-hmm. because that's what they say you're supposed to do in journalism. I don't know if that's why he's doing it, but he speaks at a level that everybody kind of understands, but he seems to really understand policy. J.D. Vance, that dude really gets
that
it.
That dude is incredibly intelligent. But, like, also, you listen to these things, and they're just normal guys.
Mm-hmm. That too.
You know, that's like the thing about J.D. Vance is he sounds like anybody that I could talk to out in the office out here.
And I would listen to it if it were J.D. Vance or if it was Tim Walz on Rogan, too. All right, short break. We'll be right back with DeRoy Murdoch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.